stuff, and there was actually an alien threat that my husband was involved with that was trying to...
Spirits, psychics, and everything paranormal. Information, go to www.portaltalkradio.com.
And welcome to Portal Paranormal Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tuesday Miles.
And I'm Angela Thomas.
Hello, Angela Thomas.
Hello, Tuesday Miles. How are you this evening?
I'm okay. It's a little bit humid here in California. It's, you know, a little sticky kind of weather. And that, you know, there's nothing worse than being sticky.
Don't I know it. Well, you see, I'm in the wonderful Midwest in the United States in the St. Louis, Missouri area. And I have to tell you, it feels like a nice fall day.
You're lucky on that, Anna. It's hot. It's hotter than heck over here in California. But you know what? I can't complain because the weather stays good pretty much year-round. The only thing that we are lacking is we really don't get enough rain. And so, but we've been real good with our wildfires this year. So, you know, keep up the good work, Californians. You try not to light anything on the side of the road. You know, and the poor animals have no place else to go.
Absolutely. I know what you mean.
Well, you know, we don't have our guests coming on until the second half of the show, and so we can actually take our time and get our promos out there and our station identifications on there. So can you give them a few of those for us, Angela?
Well, absolutely, Tuesday. Well, if you are listening to the show, you may also wish to visit our website at portaltalkradio.com to learn more about tonight's guest, Hollister Rand. Now, Hollister is a well-known psychic medium, and she's also a producer of a CD titled Many Doors, and that is an introduction to meditation with Hollister Rand. You can find out more information about Hollister by visiting hollisterrand.com or go to the portaltalkradio.com site where you'll find plenty of information about upcoming events with Hollister. You may also wish to join us in our virtual auditorium available on paltalk.com. Simply go to the social issues category, select other, and on to the Paranormal Radio Network room. A direct link is available on the portaltalkradio.com site. Now, the show can be heard on AOL Radio, MSN Radio, Tricom, Live 365, BBS Radio, just to name a few. You're listening to the show through UPRN 105.1 New Orleans, through the Paranormal Radio Network. Also, Tuesday, I want to mention to our listeners that we are now mobile through UpSnap.
Oh, cool.
And UpSnap is giving a special program for us at Portal Paranormal Talk Radio listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And they simply have to call 704-631-4060 and enter the code 2899, that's the station ID code, and Portal can be downloaded on their cell phone.
I think that's pretty cool. I haven't tried that yet, but I'm going to one day, you know, when I miss the show accidentally.
Well, I have to tell you something, Tuesday. You know, I do carry a cell phone, but I don't know how to do anything else but carry it and make a simple call and hang it up. The text messaging and... You know, downloading games and listening to, you know, different tunes and this, that, and the other. I don't know how to do that.
You're not one of those persons that has it glued to the side of their head, huh, Angela?
Oh, no. You know, I have to tell you that I only carry it just if something comes up. And I do find it, you know, a little bit disturbing that some people, and I'm sure we've all seen them, that cannot let go of their cell phone. It's like they need to talk to somebody no matter where they're at.
I swear, and either that, now it's against the law in California, you can't drive in your car and talk on the cell phone.
Well, I think that's, you know, wonderful. You know, they have a lot of those speaker phones now. You can clip onto a sun visor in your car and continue to keep both hands on the wheel.
Well, that's true. I get all road raged when I'm seeing somebody do that because they don't pay attention to what they're doing. You know, of course, drive up next to you, look at him, of course, on the phone. Get off the phone.
Oh, I know. Well, you know, Tuesday, last week, we did not have our live broadcast.
We didn't.
And it was due to Hurricane Gustav. And the Paranormal Radio Network is stationed out of New Orleans, Louisiana, and of course we all know that in New Orleans had to evacuate. But I have to tell you, I was a tad bit disappointed, although we know that it was for good reasons that we didn't have our broadcast. We had Anna Maria Hemingway scheduled, and she is the author of Practicing Conscious Living and Dying, and it's stories of the eternal continuum of consciousness. Well, I have to tell you something, Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Anna Maria was kind enough to send a book to me, this book. And, you know, I guess before I even opened it, I thought, okay, here's another.
Another book.
Here's another book that's going to say the same thing about the same, you know, 10,000 other people before her.
Right.
However, I have to tell you, I was wrong.
Okay.
Because since I have read her book, I have been telling my friends and my family, I've been reading passages. It's fantastic. It literally is 20 stories. They're personal stories. A lot of them include near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences, and also stories about individuals that are able to spend those last months with their loved one that is going to pass.
Okay.
And what a beautiful, inspiring book it is, filled with stories that are wonderful. One of the things I have to tell you, though, is that the ones that were talking about near-death experiences,
mm-hmm.
Tuesday, they all had the same things in common. They all talked
okay.
about becoming a spirit body. They all talked about spirit bodies grabbing them and rushing them upward. They all talked about the beautiful light and the unconditional love coming from that light. They said all was a quick view of their life.
Wow.
Not in judgment, like, oh, you did this wrong or you didn't do that right. It was just a quick review of their life. And they knew then what their purpose was and why they existed on Earth.
Well, you know, don't we wish we all could just do that and just, you know, I mean, take a quick flight up for a second, figure out what we're supposed to be doing on Earth here, and then come right back and get on with it?
Well, now, that depends on what your belief system is. You know,
well,
if you are, let's say, Hindu, for example, you know, those that, you know, practice that particular religion and believe in it certainly feel that, you know, it is attainable to try to be as perfect as you possibly can while here on Earth.
Oh, please.
But if you are not able to attain that perfection, then your body reincarnates again and again and again. And so they try to avoid what they call suffering and rebirth.
Okay.
Now, you know, not everyone here on Earth feels that they are suffering, but we know many do, right? And
right.
we all have been given our own cross to bear in our lives. And those in Hinduism think that it is, hey, if you want to avoid the suffering and the rebirth back into the earth plane again, you'll try to reach the perfection that you can reach while still on Earth.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, isn't it the saying goes? I mean, you know, I mean, not, I mean, being good is no fun. I mean, the fact of it is that, you know, we were brought here to, in my opinion, we were brought here to make mistakes. I mean, that's the whole purpose of life on it. You know, how can you go through life, the fact is, not making any mistakes? You know, perfection to me is a flower, is a stargazer. Any of you know what a stargazer looks like? It looks like a beautiful lily, but it's white with red kind of in the inside, and it smells. Oh, it just smells delicious. But you know, that's the perfection in it. But you know what I mean? You know, I mean, I don't know, Angela. I just, you know, the fact of it is, does anybody ever reach perfection? And exactly what is perfection? What is perfection?
Well, I mean, I believe, Tuesday, that perfection is being as close to perfect as we can be, you know, near God, the Spirit.
Okay.
The wonderful Spirit of God.
Okay.
But, you know, you mentioned something rather interesting about, you know, we're set here on Earth to make mistakes. And I agree with you, we are. But, you know, I'm one that tries to strive towards not making you know, major mistakes. In other words, I put out good intent, and I try not to, you know, go out and hurt others or do anything bad. You know, there's people out there that are stealing and killing and making, you know, abusing people and animals and things. And,
right.
You know, we're not put on earth to, you know, act or behave in a bad way.
You know, I kind of figured already that I'm going to be back a couple times. You know, I mean, not to say that I was one of the worst teenagers in the world, but I was a teenager. I was a teenager. You know, and mind you, that I don't know, does it count after you hit teenage, you know, years and you're in your adult years? Does it count start then? When does it start counting on those?
Age of accountability seems to start at around age 10 or 12, depending on where in the world that you live.
I'm coming back. There's just no doubt about that one, honestly.
So we know by the time that you're 12 years of age, you definitely know the difference between right or wrong. And, you know, we have those built-in instincts that let us know, even if we don't have, let's say, a perfect role model to follow, we do know what's right and what's wrong. So the age of accountability no later begins at 12.
Okay. Well, I've got some good in there, so I get some points for that one. I think I do, Haunted Angela. Absolutely on it. Well, before we get too much into the show, where we're going to be on, next thing you know, we're into our second hour. I have some announcements I really want to make on
okay.
it. And, you know, I spoke about Paracon, which is in Las Vegas, and that's on the dates of October 24th. Through October 25th and the 26th. Usually the events will stop, you know, either later Saturday night or early Sunday morning on it when you go to these conventions on it and stuff. So there's going to be a lot of great speakers. I'm going to head out that way and doing a lecture. And if anybody's in the Las Vegas area or you guys want to head out to the Las Vegas area, you can visit the website www.paracon2008.eventbrite, that's Brite.com. We'll put this on the website so that way you can have easy access to it and check it out and see if you are, you know, want to get away for a couple of days and hang out with a bunch of ghost people. And there's, you know, Dr. Barry Taft. There's a whole line of stars that are going to be there. Ryan Buell from Paranormal State is going to be there. I mean, they're really adding every day to the list on it. And so if you know, Richard Sennett, which we've had on our show also, and the Ghost Divas,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there's really a list on here. So if you think about it, you just want to get out of town and, you know, head to Vegas. I know that the flights are pretty cheap right now on if you book ahead on it. And all the information, like I said, is on Paracom 2008.eventbrite, Brite.com. And check it out and see if you're interested in coming. And hope you do. We can hang out and everything. And that's the first one. And then the second one also, too, I want to also point out, we've had Dan Muhwini. Now, I always say his name wrong, and I'm never going to get it right, but, you know, you guys should know by now this. Dan has this new website called Dangers of the Paranormal, where he has been an investigator for a long time. He is also a sensitive. He's with Southern California Paranormal Research Society. That's SOCALPRS.com on it. And I want you, before you get into paranormal, ghost hunting, or anything that has to regarding this, I want you to go to his site first and read the warnings that are on there, that investigating the paranormal can be hazardous to your health. It can follow you home and destroy your life. TV doesn't tell you that, so we will. And he really is making a good point with some of these new kids that are going out there. They're very young, and even young adults are going out and grabbing their cameras and grabbing their stuff, and they're going to cemeteries, and they're playing with stuff that they shouldn't be. And the next thing you know, they've got something that followed them home, and it just opens up a huge can of worms. And it ruins these people's it really ruins your life. Once that you connect with something that is really ugly, it's removable, but the essence of it and the trauma that you get from it lasts a lifetime. So, you know, this is something worth looking into. I'm sorry, I took a drink of water. Anyways, and I wanted to put that out. And also, again, that's with the Southern Cal Paranormal Research Society .com. And the link is on our site that you can look into that. So
Tuesday, do you think it's possible that if someone is innocently walking down a sidewalk, for example, sees an interesting building, public or not, and enters it, do you think it's possible for negative entities to attach to them and they take those entities home with them?
Well, you know, I don't think that they attach within that minute, within that second. Usually what they'll do is really, I mean, because the fact of it is, it's not like this sucking, leeching, you know, motion on you. They really do follow you around for quite a while on it. And it's almost like they look for that weak spot, Angela. You know, it's like, for instance, I had something that literally kept poking in the middle of my back. Now, I've always said, and whether you believe it or not, I always say that there's a psychic door that's on your back. And it can be a weak spot if you're not being responsible. If you're not being responsible of psychic medium or psychic for whatever your gifts are, you know, that you're going to be more apt to have these things try to actually get inside you. Now, is it a form of possession? Not always.
Well,
not
do
always.
You feel, yeah, but what about those individuals that are not utilizing their abilities? You know, John and Jane Doe out there that says, you know what, the last thing that I even want to do is try to be open as a psychic or a medium.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just John or Jane Doe out for the day, enjoying my time.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? That's an interesting building right there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, have you heard about people that go into somebody else's house or a commercial building and then, you know, within a week their behavior starts to change up a little bit?
Well, it's not something that happens instantly, Angela. Although maybe there is documented cases that there could be. I'm not saying that it's not impossible, but usually it's something that really builds up. The oppression is what they call oppression, spiritual warfare oppression, is something that usually it's like their energy seeping into your own. It's almost like the fact of it is that theirs is stronger. But you know, the longer that you allow this to go on. The longer that you allow this negative entity to be around you, it's almost like, you know, their energy takes over everything. And it kind of makes you feel like you don't want to do anything, you don't want to open the drapes, you're really lazy, you're low in energy, you just, you know, and it starts changing the effects of how you would normally be. And, you know, if you're have any knowledge of the paranormal stuff on this, it shouldn't take you too long to realize, hey, something's really bugging me, and I'm changing for some reason. You know, and to start really stepping back and look at it. But, you know, if you are aware of your gifts, this is the thing, Angela, if you are aware of them, but even if you don't use them, you still have to be responsible.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I
and there's
agree.
A big difference between knowing about it and using them or not using them and not knowing about it. You know, there's a big difference there on it. But once you acknowledge them and even use them for an ounce of a time, you still need to be responsible with them, even though they're turned off.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just there, and unfortunately, it just, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of time to do your groundings and your protections and your shieldings and all that good stuff. It doesn't take a long time to do it, you know.
Well, you know, and I don't want, you know, our listeners to think that they, you know, everything is negative and everything has to be, you know, locked down in a safeguard, although it does.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I was speaking to our guest, Hollister Rand, which will be coming on the second hour of the show. And, you know, she said, I don't go out and do, you know, like criminal cases or anything like that. I prefer to stay as a healing heart medium. So, you know, she talked about the goodness and the love of spirit and the love of our loved ones on the other side. And it is that sort of spirit and love that she works in. So I really do, you know, I did enjoy speaking to Hollister on the phone, and I'm really anxious for her to come on the show tonight.
Well, you know what, though, Angela? You can say all you want. That is all you're going to allow to be around you is just this positive, nice, sweet energy. And that's all we want. But, you know, and a person can say that that's what my intentions are, that's what I said, and that's the only thing that comes around me is sweet, nice, positive energy, you know. But here's the thing. Let's say that you come down with the flu and you're sick, and you don't feel like being responsible with your stuff. You don't feel like sitting there doing it. You know what? I would rather be acknowledged of them and know the symptoms of it than not. And even though that's not what you want to be about, nobody wants to be about that. But still knowing about it, being educated about it. And that's the difference in regarding it. You still should be educated about knowing that if you have something that's not so nice around you, knowing the sensation that you're getting with your body or your gifts, knowing that and understanding that, oops, okay. And know and have a plan that if that does happen, it's just being responsible and being educated is all I said. It's all I can say about it. It's just being educated about it.
So what would you do in that instance?
If something negative came around me?
Yes.
Oh, heck, I'd grab a beer bottle and hit it over the head. I'm kidding on that. But, there's all sorts of different, you get your earthbound spirits that really just have a bad attitude. They died, they had a bad attitude on earth, and they died with a bad attitude. And for whatever reason why they had that bad attitude, but here's the thing, most people will say, oh my gosh, we've got to get rid of them instantly. We have to smudge and cleanse and do all these other things around it. But the fact is that because they have negative energy, well, you know what? Has anybody ever sat down with this entity and said, hey, you don't have to be this way? Try to cross into the light. Remember where the good was when sometime in your life there was.
Yes, but Tuesday, let me ask you. Let's look at the reality of it. I'm going to play the devil's advocate here for a minute.
Okay. I heard that this morning, too. Oh, boy. Twice in one day.
So let's say that we have someone that, while they were here on Earth, they had a long line of aggravated assaults and, whether that was rape or beating somebody up or, whatever awful thing that they did while they were living. And then in spirit, let's just say they're an earthbound, they are angry to begin with, and how do you sit down and say, listen, Bob... You really don't have to be that nasty individual that you were while you were living. Do you think that the spirit would accept that love and guidance from someone else?
No.
I don't either.
Not at first they don't. But you know what, though? I had a couple in here that one of them just, and in fact, we have a guest in the virtual auditorium, Kat. Her name's Kat MCD. She's a very old dear friend of mine. And she was here in the house when I was having, I think 12, 13 of earthbound spirits in my house. That's a lot all at one time. It's a lot. And sitting down and then speaking with this one particular earthbound spirit, Michael Laparney, and I just spoke with his parents just a couple days ago, and I've gotten full permission to even talk about his story. He really just wanted me to go and talk with his dad and let him know that it wasn't his fault that he had hung himself. It wasn't his fault. His dad was suffering immensely from deep depression, from just being ill, thinking that the fact is that he caused his son to go and hang himself.
Oh.
And that's all he wanted. Yes, he was mad about the fact that his dad thought that way. Yes, he was mad for even being earthbound. But he just kept feeling like he couldn't move on because the fact of the way his dad felt. And this I'll tell you, this is the most awesome story. It's just so unbelievable. And one day on the show, I'll spend an hour and really tell it detail to detail. But, and it wasn't just myself. I had another person who doesn't want me to use their name.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that, which is ridiculous.
Well, don't use that person's name.
I'm not going to use that name, but it's just ridiculous. Anyways, but the fact is that there's such credibility with this person who heard this spirit talk to them and tell them the phone number where his parents live. I mean the telephone number, the address, every detail of where this person...
Wow, incredible.
It was absolutely incredible. But, my part that I played in it, Angela, it wasn't me that brought all this information through with Michael Laparney. It was what I did afterwards by going to his parents. Now, it took me 3 days to actually stay long enough on the phone because I kept crying. I cried. I'm like, hang on. Because I really didn't. Here it is. I didn't want to have to upset these people again. Hey, your son's been hanging out my house for 3 years.
Right.
You say to people like that?
Well, did they not hang up the first time on you?
No,
or were they very open?
I hung up on them 3 times before I stayed on the phone and said, I have something I have to tell you.
Oh, no.
I didn't know what to say to them. Here it is that they've already gone through the trauma of losing their son, that I'm going to call them and tell them what, their son's been hanging out of my house?
Well, we need to poll our listeners on that.
If
you lost a friend or a relative, would you accept a psychic medium delivering the message, would you hang up the phone
yeah,
on a psychic
right.
if they called you?
Well, see, they didn't contact me. I contacted them. There's a big difference on that.
I know.
So,
I know you
know,
contacted them.
There's a big difference on it. So the fact that, oh, my gosh, you know, but the thing is, though, they, you know, long story short, and I won't give away the full details, but they did call me back. They did, you know, because a roommate of their son's answered the phone, and they weren't home. They did end up calling me back, and I did get to go see them, and I've been friends with them ever since. So, you know, but there's a lot of details in between hand on it. It really is a great story, and I have written the story several times. I just haven't released it yet, so one day on it. So, anyways, on that note, because I want to go on to the next thing on here. I got a couple more announcements on this. Do you mind, Angela?
No, absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay, well, you know, here's the thing about, you know, we're on Friday nights, and we have paltalk.com. That you're
the virtual auditorium.
Yes, the virtual auditorium. But, you know, there's not a whole lot of other places, too, that you can go to. In a paranormal chat room where you can actually chat with people about the subject. And if you needed help or you needed questions that nobody else was available, that you can actually go there. And it's called anybodythere.net.
Anybodythere.net.
And it's a paranormal chat room forums online community. It's got some... It's you know, they've got a great team of people that go and hang out, and the admins, and they have learning rooms and different rooms, and, you know, and the people are so nice and friendly there. The minute that you walk into their chat room, they're like, hey, how's it going, you know, and asking you, and, you know, and introducing themselves. They're very nice, very informative, and it's a place that you can go talk about paranormal live.
That's fantastic.
So it's called www.anybodythere.net. So
anybodythere.net.
Anybodythere.net.
Well, so do they offer any sort of videos there, or is it just a chat room?
Well, there's a chat room there on it. You know what? I don't know. There could be where you might be able to. It says video up on their headers up here, so it says it does have video on it. But they have, you know, recently have a library that you can go into. A big library, actually, on it. And
very nice.
You know, they have healers and mediums, and they have a guy who does spiritual warrior and runes. It's a rune reader. That's R-U-N-E.
A rune reader.
An energy worker they have there. They have all kinds of different people that are really involved with it. A psychic, a counselor, medium, clairvoyant, a tarot reader. A tarot, Akashic resident tarot card reader is what she calls herself. So there's quite a few people that they have that are, you know, what they call expertise in their field that can help, you know, guide you with whatever you need. It doesn't cost anything. It doesn't, you know, they don't charge any fees to join their forums or anything, but it's a live chat room is what they are.
So a lot of light workers there at anybodythere.net.
Anybodythere.net.
Well, wonderful, wonderful.
It's a good place to hang out. Okay, that's done. Boy, I've just got all kinds of things on it.
You do.
I do. See what else is here. I'm kind of skipping about here. Oh, that's us. We don't want it. We don't need us. Come on. Oh.
Well, you know, Tuesday, you shared with me a couple of days ago one of your newer spirits in your house, and you caught the spirit on film as well as EVP.
It freaked me out, Angela. I can believe, because I don't get, you know, I really don't freak out anymore.
I heard that EVP, by the way, and it is amazing.
This, I couldn't believe it. Well, I was what I was doing that day was around 11:30 at night. I had just got done cooking a lot in the kitchen. I, you know, like to go in there and cook a bunch of stuff for a couple of days so I don't have to be in there all the time. And so I was finished, and there was, you know, I came into a nice cool room, sat down at my computer. And I kind of felt something on the back of my neck, you know, I could feel something tickling me, and I'm like, oh, okay, who's in the room? And so, you know, I had my cam already hooked up on my computer, and I thought, oh, I'll just click a button and turn it on. So I did. So I'm sitting there, and it must have been about maybe 3 or 4 minutes I was actually talking. I could see a couple ghosts back on the closet door, and I was asking them to come forward. I said, you know, I can't really see you that much. You're in my home, and I, you know, here's the thing. You got to come show me yourself, or you got to go. One or the other. That's the only choice you have. And before I knew it, Angela, now mind you, I have this little cam on my computer that really basically does nothing except for, you know, it sits there and records. It's just, you know, it's not an El Cheapo, but it is. It has no zoom on the camera. I have no zoom capability on my computer. No zoom. And all of a sudden, it starts zooming. Zoom, 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 zoom.
Oh, I'm watching my.
It. And, of course, you heard my voice going, I'm not touching anything. I am not doing this. My camera can't do this because it doesn't have that capability. And I really did start getting really excited in my voice in regard to thinking, why are they doing this? Why is they, you know, and what it did is that it zoomed right up to the face that was on the closet door or the ghost that was on the closet door. And I thought, okay. And then you can hear my voice saying to them, well, that was pretty cool. Can you kind of pull back a little bit and so I could see it better? And within a couple of minutes, it brought it, zoomed it back again. And it's played with it all night long. But, you know, as I was telling you, Angela, how intelligent for them to be able to take over controls of my computer that does not have that feature on the computer itself, that the manipulation and changing the computer program just blew me out, especially because I had to go to sleep that night in the room that it was happening in.
Well, you know, I think that a lot of people just automatically think that once someone has passed that their intelligence leaves them, but that's not the case. Spirits are intelligent, and they are able to communicate, and they are able to assist in a variety of ways. Well, what about the little girl?
Well, there was a little girl there, and I kept trying to coax her over to me, and I even said to her, look, I've got a little toy here, because I do have a little toy that sits on my computer desk, just in case. And I says, you don't have to be afraid, and, you know, and mind you, that those of you who know me know that I am not real fond of EVPs. I get creeped out with them. And when I was playing this video back, I hear her say, but I am afraid.
Mm.
And I thought, okay, no, that didn't creep me too much. That made me even feel more sorry for her. No. But still in the same sense, though, it just absolutely amazes me, Angela, the fact is that we can capture their voice on video, on tape, you know, and hear the response that way, you know. I mean, it doesn't take a clairvoyant to hear that. It doesn't take a psychic to hear that. It's just your average, everyday Joe that's hearing it. And, you know, and then I heard, you know, a little bit later there was another video that I did, and I kept hearing, help, 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 help. And I'm like, help? I'm like, what do you want me to help you with? You know, I mean, it was sounding like that they had jumped and they were saying, help all the way down.
That would bother me.
Well, and not only that, you hear this thump. You hear this, help, 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 and you hear it as they're almost like they're falling, then you hear this thump.
So
and
they're using sound memory.
They jumped.
Oh, goodness.
Just like they jumped. So I thought, you know what? It's just very sad. The fact
so they
is,
really wanted you to know what happened
to
them.
They did.
Oh.
They sure did.
Well, now we're having Mark and Debbie Constantino on Friday the 26th, and they are EVP experts.
Oh, I'll tell you, they are. Anybody can go into a room. Debbie talks less than 5 minutes to them. That's all she talks to them, and she's got them talking in full sentences to her. She is amazing. Her and her husband, Mark, just experts on these EVPs. And not only that, you know, and with mine, it was kind of like, you know, she's not giving me this voice like my voice. It's almost like a computer voice with a little screech in it too, because they don't come off always in that plain clear voice. They also communicate through fizzle, white noise. They'll do. I've heard them screech. And of course sometimes you have to have those programs where you kind of slow it down or break it down or you use an equalizer to kind of tone it in some, but. It's just weird. I don't want, you know, it gives me the creeps. I'll have to say to you, it does. I mean, knowing that all of a sudden you're at home by yourself and you play back a tape that you recorded and you hear somebody say, get out.
If we start to think about it, especially in your house with all of the spirit activity going on, I mean, just because you can't hear them at times doesn't mean that they're not there. They're just all around you constantly.
Well, don't be telling me that, though, Angela. You're telling me that the fact they're still here, even though I can't hear and see them?
Right. Sometimes you see them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can hear them. Other times you can feel them. I mean, I am very much aware of the spirits in my house. I don't always hear them. I don't always see them. But I am aware. When I walk into the room and it feels like it's a crowded room,
mm-hmm.
then I know, hey, Angela's not alone.
Very true. But, you know, really, it's very important, and let me make this you know, this note on this, is because it is very important for you to shut yourself down. It can make you very sick
mm-hmm.
if you constantly always leave yourself open. Boy, and I found out the hard way on that one. So it is important. Not only that, by you teaching yourself and getting control of you opening and shutting, when you do open up, your information that you're receiving is a lot stronger. On it. Even if you're giving the information to somebody else, it's a lot stronger. But to leave yourself open all the time, and I just was having trouble with my sight, my clairvoyant did that, and I still do have problems with that, shutting it all the way off. But I have found myself that I just put it in the ignore mode. And if something is coming to approach me, and it's, you know, and I know that, like you said, I'm aware, I'll just find myself something else to do in another part of the house, or I'll just go and do something else, because that's the part that I have to put it on ignore, because that's my rest time. I'm not paying attention to it. But it still doesn't make you feel any better knowing that. The fact is, even though you're on ignore mode, you're shut down, you still have a city within a city that's walking through your house, you know? I mean, sometimes there's quite a few of them, and I'm sure that we don't know how many there is.
Well, you know, I must confess, Tuesday, that, you know, ever since one of my relatives caught an apparition in my bed, which is a very tall, off the ground,
okay.
I guess you could call it kind of like an antique princess bed. You have to get a stair, you know, a step to get into bed.
Well, you have to get a step stool to get in bed, right?
I have to get a step stool to get in bed.
Okay. Is your
because I can't take a running jump. But ever since that apparition was caught,
whew.
There is not an evening that goes by that I'm thinking, wait a minute, maybe I'm not in this bed alone.
Oh. You know, I mean, so was it snuggling with you?
Well, no, I'm saying that the apparition was caught. I wasn't in the bed, at the time that the photograph was taken.
Oh,
actually,
you knew
I had,
okay.
some young girl relatives, downstairs playing, and they happened to be playing in a bedroom that one of the relatives took over while they were visiting.
Okay.
And they, you know, were taking pictures of one another being silly and caught...
Oh, yes, I've seen that
they
one.
They caught the apparition.
That was,
and
yes, he was a handsome young man, too. I mean, you know, he was a handsome young man. He reminded me of a ball player.
A ball player.
Yeah, he did at first. Well, he had that long hair on him. That wasn't the guy with the mustache and the long hair? Didn't he have hair on his shoulders?
No.
Okay,
you're thinking of something else.
Well, no, I'm not, because this is the one. Was it the orb that was in your bedroom? It was the orb was on the back of the headboard?
Well, it looks like that it is an orb on the headboard until you get closer to it, and then you can see the entire outline of the body lying in bed, and then there's an orb above the apparition.
Oh, I didn't see the body laying in bed. That's what I was
the
referring
body
to.
The body is lying
look,
in bed.
We can look at that picture.
And then there's an orb above it.
Okay, I see.
Or
remember
two orbs
orb.
Above it. Mm-hmm.
I just didn't capture the other thing. I'll have to take another look at it, Angela.
Mm-hmm.
Still, in the same sense, thinking something's crawling in bed with you. You know, they got a million places they got to sleep. It's got to be in your bed. That's
just
creepy.
That's just it, you know. And, you know, spirits do go and touch. Which is a big no-no to me. You know, I ask them,
yeah.
Whatever you do, don't just, you know, come out and touch me. You know, that's because, I mean, a living person wouldn't do that, right?
Yes.
They would at least, you know, have the common courtesy to approach you and ask you, may I touch your hand or whatever. But they do that. They talk to you, or they're in the room, or they move your things. So anyway, I wanted to talk about Friday, September the 12th. We're having Sydney Fox on.
Yes. She's got a really cool book out. In fact, I'm going to have to look up for it here on it, because remember my name on it. I've gotten some, When a Ghost Screams? Let me make sure. That's Leslie Rolls. That's Leslie Rolls. And we're going to be having her on, too, actually, on it. And, we've got some really, we've got some, actually, authors that are coming in that are actually, like, the daughters of very well-known authors.
Well, you know, I mean, Tuesday we are booked until the end of the year with some awesome guests. I have to tell you, they are the cream of the crop. And I say this because they are experts in their field, and they have done significant work in their community and abroad. And so it just pleases, both Tuesday and I to be able to bring you such guest on the Portal Paranormal Talk Radio Show. So if you'll go to portaltalkradio.com and click on the show information, you will see some of the lineup of the upcoming guests.
Shoot, I'm going to have to look up Sydney Fox's book name because...
Sydney Fox is coming on. We have Joe Montaldo coming on talking about UFOlogies. And, of course, I know that we know that he is a speaker to a lot of the, or at a lot of conventions, and a lot of people go to him for expertise and advice. And we have Annette Martin coming on. And Annette Martin, by the way, has been a psychic since a little girl. Of course, she's utilized the abilities since childhood. And so there's a special book out on Annette Martin, and it is about her work, and she is a well-known psychic detective. I'm sure you've seen her on television.
No, I don't recall that, but, what was it again, Angela? I'm sorry. I heard you, but it went in one ear.
Annette Martin.
That's right. That's right. Okay, on it. Yes, you're right. You're right. You're right on that. I was looking up for Sydney Fox's book's name, too, so I don't want to leave that out. You know what? Also, who we have coming on, too, Angela, was her name's Cal, C-A-L, Cal Ori. She actually wrote a book regarding the predictions of earthquakes and actually how to do them and how successful she has been in predicting earthquakes in California.
You know, and that's something that, you know, takes a lot of discernment, you know, when feeling the vibrations of an impending disaster.
Oh, absolutely, Anna. I don't know if I would really, you know, want to actually do that, too. And we have Echo Bodine coming up on October 17th.
Oh, yes.
She's such a
Echo
hero
Bodine.
She is a hero to me, absolutely, on that. And you know what, also, too, I mean, we have just been, I have something special to share.
Oh, yes?
You know,
what?
Here it is over the years. One of my favorite things to do, one of my passions is to do, is to write. And it's taken me, I think, quite a while to really train myself into writing stories that are readable, actually, you know. I mean, something that's not at a kindergarten level, but it's at a suitable level for people to, you know, an adult level on some of them. And so I have written some of my stories, and they're going to be in Brad Steiger's books that are coming out. A couple of them, there's one's ghost stories, the other one's monsters and tales, and there's another one called Santa's Miracles. Mm. And so I've included it. I will actually be published in all three of those books.
Wonderful.
And I was asked to submit some of my writing to unexplainedmysteries.org. It's a magazine, so I've been asked to write some things for them. So I just have to say that I'm thrilled in, you know, to do this. This is really an honor for me to be able to have somebody like my work and publish it. I think it's an honor for myself to do that. So it's
well, congratulations.
I think it's a congratulations. I think it is. Thank you so much. Thank you.
I know that you have, you know, just a zillion stories, and we all want to hear them.
Oh, you know, until somebody reminds me of them sometimes, Angela, I forget about them, you know. I mean, it's like, oh, yes, I have a great story about that. And, you know, to one that even I forgot about, this doll that I have up in the attic, it's one of those chatty catties, about 4 foot tall, and forgot there's a great story, a paranormal story that happened with that doll, with my father, who was a fireman. And so, you know, I mean, and it's just sometimes you just, like, you know, we all have stories, and I really say to everybody, you know, write your stories down, submit them. You'll never know. I mean, I submitted a very short story about a gift that I had got my daughter, and won a huge, big basket of chocolates. You know, and it's just that simple. It's just that simple. You know, but if you're passionate to write, write, and submit it to places. You'll never know. You'll never know.
Well, and also submit some of your short stories to portaltalkradio.com. Go to the site and submit some of your paranormal stories or your psychic experiences. And if your story is chosen, we'll read it on the air.
Yeah, you know, and I hope that one day that I can, you know, I can actually offer for people to say, you know, send your stories in, and I'm going to, you know, one day have it published in one of the books that I'm doing. I would love to do that. Because I really, truly believe, Angela, everybody's got a story. You know, maybe not enough stories to fill a book, but there's a story there.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, you've got some fantastic photographs, and I know that one of the books that Brad Steiger is publishing, you have that wonderful photograph that I think is absolutely just amazing, and I think that when the readers see that, that they'll really just step back and be in awe.
Well, Scotty Roberts, who we've had on the show as a guest, who did the Tam O'Hare series of the children's books that he had written, he's doing the illustration for one of the stories that needed. I didn't have a photograph with it, but I do have a picture in my mind of what I saw. So he's, you know, as describing it to him, he is actually doing the illustrations for it. So, you know, so this is the cool thing about having guests, because we get to meet people all over the world that do all kinds of different things and hook up with them and do projects with them. And I think that's really cool in itself.
Well, it really is. And, you know, I love doing the show with you Tuesday, and I love speaking to the guests and finding out all about not only their lives, but the wonderful work that they do. Like Hollister Rand, that will be coming up in a few minutes at the top of the hour. You know, she's gone all over the, you know, Europe and in the United States. She's a teacher. She teaches psychic development. She teaches mediumship. She has published a CD called Many Doors, which is an introduction to mediumship. And her voice is just like an angel's. You know, I had to get the CD. Got to tell you, I had to get it.
Okay.
I met Hollister in May, and she's just, I mean, the energy. I can't talk enough about this woman's energy. I felt her energy before she walked into the room. Once she's in a room, you're just like, wow.
Oh, I'm sure of it, on it. She's, you know, but Angela, on that note, I want to make a comment here because I just got busted here. One of our virtual auditoriums that I was mentioning name earlier, Kat, she's a friend of mine, she says on the comment that we were making earlier on it, you were talking about ghosts attaching themselves to people if they go to places to check them out.
Mm-hmm.
She says to me, you have been known to leave ghosts where you go.
To leave ghosts?
You know, because the ghosts do follow me around. They do. They go in my car.
So what do you do? Say, okay, you know, Jane Doe ghost, you just stay here. Is that what you're saying?
No,
Or do they say, let me get the heck out of the car?
I recall when that one time when she had called me and said, I think you left something here, and it was a young woman. I believe it was Kat, wasn't it? Wasn't a young woman that was there? I believe it was, because Kat has been through thick and thin with me on this stuff. She was there the night that I got yanked out of bed by my ankles, and I tell you, she's stuck through with it with me like a true friend did. Boy, she really, she came with me that one night, and both of us walked like we were little ladies back to the south. The first thing touches us, we are both out of here.
funny.
She did, but, you know, but I love you too, Kat. Oh, my gosh. It was just, oh, you know what? Before I forget, I want to give a shout-out to Brian T., he's with an electrical company, and I won't say what company he's with, because it's a very big company, but he's listening to us tonight, Angela, and this is somebody in a very large, I would say, electricity company that has really opened his mind to the thoughts of paranormal and is embracing some projects that he has that we're going to be doing together, and I'm just thrilled to have him as a listener to the show. So I want to make sure that I give him a shout out, because I know he's listening tonight. So how you doing there, Brian?
Wonderful, yes. Wonderful. Well, I have to tell you, Tuesday, I received an interesting call about a demonic happening that the Enfield Paranormal Society is handling, and they are incorporating the well-known Lorraine Warren on the case.
Ooh.
And I thought, you know, some of these, you know, paranormal investigators going out there, it's not all about filming. You know, many of their cases, they don't, you know, get on film. You know, they don't film it. They don't, you know, put it on television or anything else. And so he spoke quite a bit about his experiences, and I think he's been out there 4 times now.
Oh.
And so it was quite an awesome story, I have to tell you.
Is it a serious story?
Very serious, very serious. Mm. So, you know, not all you know, activity in someone's home like that, but, you know, I have to give a lot of accolades for those paranormal investigators out there that are truly out there trying to help individuals clear, you know, the presence in their home. So, you know, when he said, hey, I've tried my best, let's incorporate somebody else in here. So I can say that he did say that they did use a priest to exorcise, and instead of it going away, it aggravated the situation. So he is going to be coming on the show in January, and that's one of the cases I would love to talk to him about.
Mm-hmm. You know that I'm going to slap some tape over my mouth on that one. You know that I'm going to slap. I have to, because you know very well I have made it. I have not been secret about my feelings about exorcisms. I have been very adamant about the fact is that not. I'm not going to say 100% of the time they're the wrong thing to do. I'm not going to say 90% of the time they're wrong, but I'll give it 80% of the time.
But don't you think that, I mean, I don't you know, promote individuals trying to do exorcisms. I do promote, however, you know, spiritual persons such as priests that has been trained in exorcism. Then I promote that. And I say, you know, whether it, you know, one-time exorcism works or not, it's better to have somebody trained in it and that has their faith solid on the ground. Because, you know, remember that movie, The Exorcist?
Yeah.
And there was a young priest in there that, you know, really his world was shaken up and his faith was very weak. And
yes.
He was asked to participate with an older priest to do an exorcism.
Yes.
See, that's when it becomes very, you know, edgy or dangerous, when somebody's faith is not where it needs to be.
Well,
then you can say, hey,
Hollywood decorated that movie an awful lot. Hollywood did decorate that movie an awful lot. And the Booth brothers just released, actually, Christopher St. Booth, Philip St. Booth, they just released one of their films, Spook TV, about the possessed, where they went back in to the area and met with the real people that were on the case of the exorcist. I thought it was just, you know, one of those Hollywood stories. It actually has a real story behind it.
It was a true case, but the victim was actually a boy, a young boy.
Yeah, well, they went on this new, you know, DVD that they're releasing, The Possessed, that it's got all that information, you know, the true information in regarding the exorcist, and interviewed a couple of the people who were actually had witnessed the exorcism at the time. So, you know, I mean...
Well, I have to tell you, Tuesday, they can leave Angela out anything like that.
Holy cow.
I'll go in and I'll say, yes, you know, you do have a presence here. If there's communication, I'll deliver the messages to them. But beyond that, I have to tell you, I'm not going to... I'm not going to deal with the devil.
Yeah.
I'm not going to.
We only got a minute left. I know I'd save it some trouble. I might as well just take that split pea soup and just pour it on me. You know, but we laugh about it now. It wasn't funny when it was happening to somebody else. But you know how I feel about it, Angela. The fact is if you're not working on this, on the problem, you cannot have a solution with an exorcism. You cannot have it because the problem still exists there after it's done, and it comes back tenfold every time. And so that's the thing about it. It's great intentions for all these. They're gung-ho to go out there and help it, but the fact is there's still a problem that lays there with it. So, you know, and on that note, bless their sweethearts, and I give them, you know, I mean, 1,000 blessings as much as we can for anybody who's going to be involved with that. It's just not a pretty subject. And on that note, we got about a minute left on it, and see, we're all done. We're going to have Hollister come back when, you know, from the break, and I haven't met her, and she's in my area. She actually is in California an awful lot.
Well, you have to meet her. In fact, if you'll go to the portaltalkradio.com site and click on Hollister Rand Events, you will see some of the things in your area Tuesday. I know that she's got a Chakra Spa event coming up and many, you know, other events coming up and even in New York. So click on the Hollister Rand Events link on portaltalkradio.com or visit www.hollister, that's Hollister, Rand, Rand.com.
And on that note, this is Portal Paranormal Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tuesday Miles.
And I'm Angela Thomas.
And we'll be back in a few minutes. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Paranormal Radio Network.
Welcome back to Portal Paranormal Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tuesday Miles.
And I'm Angela Thomas.
Angela, we have a guest joining us now, don't we?
Oh, we certainly do. Well, I have to tell you that we have the psychic medium, Hollister Rand. Hollister, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
I love that name. Now, she was just saying something about my name. Let's say, how did you come up with you know, on your naming Hollister?
Well, let me just say, I had the name Hollister before the clothing line came out.
Okay.
Nor can I fit in any of the Hollister clothing, just
oh,
in case you're all wondering. When I was in high school, my friend started calling me the Hollister. So it sort of stuck, and I've been known as Hollister. So that's how I adopted it.
See, that's a great story there, too. You said great stories have names on it. So, well, welcome. Thank you so much for coming on and being a guest on our show and us letting us pick your brains about everything about mediumship.
I'm happy to share. I really love the subject.
You're known all over the place. You are known for your work all over.
Well, that's encouraging, and it just goes to show that there's such a thirst for knowledge about the other side. I mean, let's face it, we're all going there, so we might as well know what it's about.
Well, to find somebody who teaches it, too, this is what it's rare. It becomes rare, because even, you know, to give advice to teach something, but I have a magazine here that I keep my magazines on. It's from January and February 2006 from the Learning Light Foundation and has your picture on the front page.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that you were actually down there at the Learning Light. Do you still teach or work at down at the Learning Light?
I have not been at the Learning Light for some time now.
Okay.
But I'm fortunate to be teaching all over the place. I'll be teaching in New York coming up in October. I'll be teaching in Laguna in February, in Los Angeles in March. It's really something close to my heart. In the old days of mediumship, there was the idea that mediums were extremely special people and they were afflicted with the ability to see spirits and that kind of thing. My belief is that we all have a level of connection with each other and with the other side. And I really want to foster that so that people are developing in a safe way.
And that goes right into my first question. Isn't that synchronicity? Because I was going to ask that first question, and you just went ahead and answered it, so I'm going to ask part
I must
two.
Be psychic.
You must be psychic. Absolutely on it. And some people seem to open their gifts later in life. Why is that?
Well, that's an interesting question, because I'm beginning to see a shift. Often what has happened in the past is when there's been a life change, and people sort of hit their midlife stride, they're re-looking at their lives. They're considering values and things like that. Very often the earning years are starting to come to a close, and they're able to look at their lives in a different way. So that explains some of it. But now what I'm starting to see is young people who never really close the portals in their own lives between here and the other side. So with the general acceptance of all of this, there is now sort of a newfound interest in it. So I'm very excited at all ends of the spectrum, young and old.
Okay. On it, it seems to be, you know, well, it scared the heck out of me, as that's what it did. I reflect back knowing that there was something as a child, but not as a teen, more or less, but then after a death of a parent.
Exactly. Most of the people in my development workshop had experiences when they were younger and closed down because, number one, it wasn't acceptable. It was scary. They may not have had support from the family, and they really didn't know what to do about it. I mean, let's be honest. Nowhere on the SATs does it give you any questions about, you know, the other side, how to do this work. It hasn't really been an option for people's lives up until this point.
Now it's
a career for people, and that was very rare before this time.
Oh, true. Angela?
So, Holly, at what age do you start teaching others? What's the youngest that you've had in your classes?
I do not teach anyone younger than 18. And I'll tell you why. This work is challenging enough, knowing who you are as opposed to who spirit is. Sometimes those under 18 are struggling with the basic stuff in life. Who am I? What am I going to do? But I can certainly coach parents, and parents have taken my classes. It's always good to learn grounding, protection, you know, all of that kind of thing. So, and allowing children to spontaneously develop these talents as they develop other talents as well. I do think that in the days ahead, there will be teaching for those who are younger, but I prefer to teach those who are over 18.
Let a kid be a kid first.
You know. I agree with you. Let a child be a child. Holly, you produced a CD called Many Doors, An Introduction to Mediumship with Hollister Rand. Can you tell us a little bit about that CD?
Well, talk about spontaneously developing. I was just sort of sitting around with a group of friends who said, you get asked the same questions over and over again, and you always talk about grounding and protection, and you talk about opening your mind up to the other side and the possibility of connection. So why don't you just make a CD? So that's literally what happened. The first part of the CD is sort of a Q&A about life on the other side, some of my own past experiences, how I moved into this. And then there are some grounding and protection exercises. We had a group of people in a room sort of when we were testing this CD to see if they got anything out of it. So we left them in a room, walked away, came back, and everybody was asleep when we got back. And I thought, oh, this is not good. But I realized during the relaxation portion of the CD, my voice just put everybody to sleep.
Well, I have to tell you, Holly, that your voice is that of an angel. I happen to have your CD, Many Doors, and it's so soothing and so relaxing. I can see how, you know, someone could just play it over and over and again just for the comfort from your voice alone.
That's what I hear from people. I've been downloaded into iPods, and people fall asleep to the sound of the Native American flute that I have on there, and to the sound of my voice, because there's something about the cadence of it that just puts people into a restful spot. And I can only hope that then, in their own dreams, they can begin to connect with those they love on the other side.
Well, that would be good, something I could send my dad, because he has the worst time falling asleep and staying asleep. So I could send him that and have him listen to it, because the fact of it is, hey, this is a whole new category for you to sell.
It's a whole new category. And, of course, I also put a warning on the CD. Do not listen to this while driving.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Because what happens is it begins to, the music itself, the sound of my voice and the exercises begin to shift your consciousness. And so if you're driving, you can get very sort of befuddled.
Well, isn't it when you hear your best messages is when you quiet your mind?
That's exactly right.
And
so the last thing you want to be doing is
you're helping them quiet
them. Be driving and trying to deal in traffic. Yes,
well,
absolutely.
Right there, but with your CD, though, you're helping people quiet their mind. If they're that relaxed from your voice and everything on it, to me, it's like I'm letting go of the things that I don't need to be thinking about right now. And I'm quieting my mind to hear messages then.
Americans as a group are not very good at meditation.
No.
And I know, because, you know, I struggled with it myself. I have a very active mind. And so when I first started to get quiet, it was a little terrifying to me. It's very hard for us. We're a productive group of people. We always feel like we have to be doing something. We're running out of time. And you sit down, and all of a sudden, your to-do list is going through your head. And that's just not going to do it as far as connecting with spirit. So learning how to be in the present and not allowing anything else to sort of invade that consciousness is practice. So that's what I really like to help people do. It's in the quietness that we connect with ourselves and with spirit.
When opening up gifts, is there a certain order that they come in?
You know, I've been wondering about that myself. I'd like to say those of us who teach and those of us who are mediums traveling around the world doing this sort of know it all, but that's just not the case. We're learning as we go. What often happens is people will have a dominant sense. So if you are a feeling person, an empath, you may start getting empathic messages from spirit, sort of clairsentient messages. If you are somebody who hears a lot, loves music, this kind of thing, have a connection that way through your ears, and that's how you connect with the world, very often your clairaudience will be the thing that's activated first. Now, what's interesting is over time, as people continue to develop, I joke with spirit and I say, make me broadband. I want to experience you in the broadest and fastest way possible. So use my abilities and strengthen those that are not as strong as others so that I can give a well-rounded experience. Where I see this in my classes is that I will have several students connecting with one spirit. One student will be seeing the spirit and be able to describe the spirit. Another student will be hearing words. Another student will be feeling a death condition in their body somewhere. And so my goal is to take all of those students and allow them to feel all those things, see all those things, and hear all those things.
Very cool.
That's pretty amazing. So what you said, Holly, was that your students all experienced the same spirit in a different way?
Yes. Yes, and this is really interesting because it's almost like I remember I had one guy sitting in a development circle with me, and he could describe spirit perfectly. And he said, well, they're moving their mouth, but I can't hear what they're saying.
Go ahead, Tuesday. You're going to say something.
No, I'm just raising my hand. Yes, yes, yes. That's, they do that to me all the time.
All right. So you know what I'm talking about.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
It's very frustrating. It's very frustrating because you feel like you're not getting the whole message.
That's right.
Exactly. So what people don't realize is that you can actually instruct spirit. And this is what makes spirit communication so exciting, is that it's a two-way street. So if you're working on your clairvoyance, let's say, and you see sort of shimmering shapes in front of you, that kind of thing, or sometimes when clairvoyance starts, you think you've got rats or mice in the house because
yes.
It's always like out of the corner of your eye. Boom,
right.
There's something. You turn, it's gone. But you can actually, as you're developing in a safe way, and I always encourage people to be in development circles, take classes, raise your vibration. Because let's face it, everybody who dies isn't nice, okay? So we've gotten that out of the way. But you want to raise your vibration, and you can say to spirit, slow yourself down a bit. I can't see you. You're moving too quickly. Move more into my vision. And you can have this sort of back and forth. Give this to me in a different way. So Tuesday, you can literally say, slow down your voices. Let me hear a sound.
Okay.
And start working that way. I see you. Now help me to hear you. And one of the exercises I do is bringing the energy up through your body to the different chakra places. I almost wish we were all in a big room and I could be doing this with everybody.
Oh, I do too.
The energy up to where the different chakra centers are in the body that are associated with the different abilities to communicate with spirit. And you actually, as you start running the energy through those centers, it starts opening them up more and more for communication.
Okay.
It's really great stuff.
It is great stuff. It is. And I'm just sorry that I didn't find you sooner.
Tuesday is in your area, Hollister, so, you know, Tuesday, no excuses now.
No,
you have to go see Holly.
You know
what the good news is? Spirit wants communication to happen. They're here to work with us to help this happen, and nobody has arrived. We are all learning. I mean, each and every day, that's what sort of keeps me going, is the idea of, oh, what's next? What are you going to show us next? It seems endless, and it's very exciting to be part of it.
Oh, absolutely, and I do get excited on it. Is there a sign that mediums get when they're using their gifts incorrectly, and also can your gifts just suddenly just stop?
Huh. Let's see. I have to really think about that question.
Okay.
Mediumship can be very taxing on the system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't speak about other mediums. Nor would I presume to. But I can talk about myself and my own experiences. When I've done too much, and you've got to understand there's a tremendous need for this work. So So if you have a heart for it, as I do, you want to serve people. So I can overextend myself sometimes. That's an easy thing to do. I will start getting a headache. It's almost like my pituitary gland sort of swells up. The other thing is, you don't want to walk around in your life fuzzy-brained. And you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah. If you're open and you're sort of not grounded in some way, you can't find where you're going. You get lost in the car. You become ineffectual in life. So one of the things I do with myself and my students, and I preach this, I'm like an evangelical preacher with grounding and protection.
Mm-hmm.
Because the best way to communicate with spirit is not to fly out of our bodies and not be present, but to bring them to a place where they can use all of who we are to get through. So this fuzzy brain stuff, that can also be you're not grounded, you're doing too much of this work. Another sign is not being able to sleep. So what happens
wow.
is people start to open up. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I do yeah. know what you're talking about.
All
well,
right.
We're both going, we're getting lectured here.
Yeah. So people go to sleep, and then they go to work, basically. It's almost
mm-hmm.
like you've contracted to, okay, well, now it's quiet, and boy, am I going to get busy with spirit. And then they wake up exhausted in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can't sleep through the night. It's like their mind is racing. We are not meant to vibrate at a certain rate all the time. We're just not. It's almost like little earthquakes in your body, and then you can't sort of slow down. So I've known people who will get into bed and feel like they're vibrating in bed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's what that is. Okay.
All right, yeah. So the thing to do then, Tuesday, I don't know if you have any dark stones, hematite, things like that.
I do.
Okay. Dark stones are very, very helpful. Letting spirit know I need this sleep so that I can regenerate for tomorrow, instructing them, also doing your grounding, gardening, working with dirt is also very, very helpful. These are just everyday sort of practical things.
Right.
But those are indications that you might be overworking a little bit.
Oh.
Well, Holly, do you think that spirits will accommodate us on everything that we ask them to?
Oh,
I mean,
I would like to think so.
You know, if we consider that there are intrusive individuals living here on Earth that would not mind interrupting you or I.
Yes.
Would they do the same thing in spirit and say, you know what, even though I know you need the rest, my needs come first?
Yes, but that's where protection comes in. This is why I'm such a preacher. Grounding and protection, they come together. Grounding and protection,
mm-hmm.
grounding and protection. You see, we have guides on the other side who help us. We have protectors who help us. But even with that, there have been some challenges. I've had a stalker. That's someone here on the earth plane who is a stalker. I've had clients who have flown out of their bodies and decided to visit me in the middle of the night. So I've had some very peculiar things. Fortunately, it's few and far between. And I do think it's because I set the energy and I set the vibration at which I work. So I'm very careful about, I don't do a lot of ghost busting and stuff like that. I'm very careful. I have a tendency to be careful who I surround myself with, who I meditate with, and what I ask for. Ultimately, everything is done by agreement. It really is. And where I've had challenges with people in class, say going into spontaneous trance and things like that, is there have not been boundaries established. And there are people who will say, I just want anything to happen. I want spirit to use me. Whoa! You need to be really careful. Be specific and be careful what you ask for.
Yeah, so we were talking about that earlier before you came on the show, exact subject, about the fact is that that's what it is. Setting your boundaries on that, it is very important. And I do promote the grounding and the protection. It's being responsible.
So I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. And I will have people who are professional mediums even take my classes, not because they feel they have to learn certain things, but because, number one, the energy is good to be with other people of like mind,
mm-hmm.
and two, it's always helpful to go back to the basics, the things that we sometimes forget.
I agree with you there.
I do too.
Holly, you had spoken about the healing heart of mediumship. Can you tell us a little bit about how you feel about that?
Well, I believe that mediumship is part of sort of the healing arts. When I was young, I was very, very interested in psychology, the way the human mind works, the way groups of people work. It all fascinated me. And then I moved into sort of the creative realms with singing and, you know, performance and things like that. And so it still kept me very interested in motivations, characters, all of that. I wouldn't even be surprised if I was bringing in people from the other side when I was doing characters on stage. I think that that communication was even happening. And what I realized is as I started to communicate with people on the other side, they were much more interested in concentrating on the healing. I am here, working through some of the family issues, appreciating the changes that people have made in their own lives, which affect those on the other side as well as future generations. And I thought, this is what really gets me going, is the healing that takes part, that really is the biggest part of mediumship. Not just healing around grief and loss, but healing around family issues, abuses, addictions, all of those kinds of things, which are often addressed through mediumship. So it's not just about grief and loss, because let's face it, we all have many, many griefs in our lives. The job you didn't get. The addiction that it's hard to beat, watching someone be their own worst enemy, desiring a relationship with a parent that you may never have had. All of those things are grief in their own way, and they're grief that mediumship can address.
Holly, you spoke about communications in the afterlife, and you said spirit communication allows us to continue our relationships in a different way. And I was wanting to know just how possible is it using someone like yourself, a wonderful medium, how can we patch up those relationships when they're on the other side? How can we help them and how can we help ourselves?
It's almost as individual as we are as individuals. However, there are some general things that I see which are occurring over and over again. The best way for us to help spirit is to take care of the things in our lives which need attention. It is so interesting to me to see how we walk hand in hand with spirit. I had a lady today, and I'm going to speak vaguely because I don't want to give any personal details of people's sessions, except that these can be instructive in some way. And the first thing that happened was spirit came in and applauded her. Now, it's not like they were all standing around like this was a show, but they were applauding her for the changes that she had made in her life. Her father had been an alcoholic. He showed up. A brother had passed. He showed up. A number of other family members showed up and talked about how they had been ineffectual in their own lives in dealing with certain things, but how she had overcome addictions in her own life, had made choices that they were observing and working with her on. I mean, it was really, truly astounding. So what we do here on the earth plane, the choices that we make, something that's unforgivable or the person who seems to be unforgivable, we're not letting anybody off the hook. But what we are doing is removing our own energy from that situation, so that the person here on the earth plane or on the other side can begin to face their own issues.
So really what we do in our lives affects those in spirit.
Yeah, and I didn't realize this at first. You know, I used to think that mediumship happened because we wanted it to. Like we would dial up the people we wanted to talk with. And then what started happening was people were showing up for clients whom they didn't even want to talk to. And I thought, oh, what is this? So these things happen, I go to spirit and I say, all right, what are you guys showing me? And I realized, wow, the person they don't want to talk to needs to speak with them. I thought that this was happening because we wanted to talk to the other side. But they want it to happen in some ways even more than we do. For reasons of healing, forgiveness, fessing up, let's say, and really dealing with the heartfelt issues that have been left unspoken for eons of time sometimes.
Okay, Angela, she's reading my questions on my sheet.
Sorry, Tuesday, can't help you there.
And you just go right into the answering my question that I was going to ask you. I'm thinking, how is she doing that? Because she's every, you know what, you have hit every single one and going right down to my questions on it. So I'm going to sneak this one in. How does a spirit or ghost know when you're a medium? I mean, it's like they see me coming a mile away. How do they know?
Yes. Yes, it's like having a Klieg light on top of your head. It really is. It's like, hello, hello, I'm open for business. There are a number of ways to answer that question. And my my students joke, and they say, Holly's like a taxi cab driver. Her light's on or it's off. And so I'm open for business, so to speak, or I'm closed for business. But yes, they can see you coming a mile away. It's like, oh, look, she can see us. She can
truly
see us. Oh, goody, she can hear us. Oh, boy, here she comes, here she comes. You know, it's like, it's excitement.
Not exaggerated. They do that.
Yes, yes, it's excitement on the other side. The other thing is, it's not nearly as chaotic as we might like to think on the other side. I remember I was sitting with a bunch of mediums in a development circle. One medium said, oh, Holly, they're talking about you on the other side. I'm like, oh, that's just great. Like, they don't talk about me enough on this side. Like, I need some gossip on the other side as well. But what we were instructed about that night was how spirits determine who goes to what medium.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay,
and this is, and I have been saying to my classes for years, you know what, if you're like thumping the melons in the AMP and you see a man in spirit standing next to a woman, you don't walk up to the woman and say, by the way, there's this man standing here, do you know who he is? You know, I've been telling my students not to do that for years. Because we never know how someone is going to react to something like that.
Right. Sure.
I learned that lesson very, very early. This was when I was a singer, and before I moved out to California, I was a singer singing Christian music. And I looked out into an audience one night, and I saw an elderly lady standing in spirit, standing next to a young girl. And I felt this lady saying to me, tell my granddaughter that I know about the rape and it's going to be okay, that I love her.
Oh.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what you think. You go, oh, isn't that sweet? Well, I walked up to this girl and I said, by the way, your grandmother knows about the rape and it's all right. Now, this girl, I'm telling you, if she had fangs, she would have bitten me. How did you know about that? I haven't told her. And I thought, okay. So that was my first lesson. That was before I was in any development circle or anything, and I thought, okay, I'm learning you just don't do that. So what I've been shown is just because you're given information doesn't mean you have to provide it. That there are can be very sort of set ways of setting boundaries and bringing people to us. That's what happens. Very often, those who have an excellent session with a medium want their friends and relatives to have the same experience. It doesn't always happen that way. What we want for other people isn't always what they get. They have to be ready as well. So
do you think Spirit knows that, you know, John or Jane Doe is not ready to hear from?
No, I don't think so. I think sometimes they get very, now guides do, and those who work with mediums do, but the everyday spirit just knows, I'm trying to get through.
Right.
And if the grief of the person on this side somehow is standing almost in the way of that connection, I'm telling you, spirit will try to find a way.
Well, it's not every day that they find somebody that can communicate with them also. I mean, if it were a commodity, don't you think so for them?
Yes, well, but you know what the good news is?
They're going to have somebody that can see them. Oh, my gosh, you can see it.
That's exactly right. But you know what the good news is? The good news is that more and more people are having direct connection with their loved ones. I'm seeing it more and more. I joke with Spirit. I say, okay, you guys are putting us out of business. Because I will sit with client after client after client. And this morning it happened. I had a young man sat down. I looked at him. I said, well, his grandfather's here. and he's wondering why you're spending your money here, because he can talk to you directly.
Okay.
Well, you know, and it just makes me laugh.
Question, why do they need to come back to talk to us? Shouldn't they be done with it, with their life? Shouldn't it be that satisfaction where there really isn't any need to come back to communicate or to visit or to check up on something? And they're doing it more and more and more.
Well, there are several reasons for that. First of all, there are those who do have a very active life on the other side. It's not like they're all sitting around sort of watching. It's not like we're in a fishbowl and they're watching us.
Right.
It's not like peeping Toms from the other side.
Right, of course.
They're certainly able to be in many, many different places at once.
Oh, sure.
But when you love somebody, you are always interested to know how they're doing. Always.
Right.
We have a vested interest in those who are in our family line and those for whom we have affection. It's no different than, you know, being here on the earth plane. You want to know what's going on with people, and you want them to know that you're thinking of them. I love the tradition of lighting candles in a church for those who have passed. I love that connection. Very often, people from the other side will talk about how that helps them, how the love and the thoughts of those people here helps them on the other side. I had a man who came to see me over a period of time, and he talked with his lovely, lovely wife. And then I don't know how many sessions we had had over several years, because I always ask people to space things out. I usually will not see someone more than twice a year on a personal basis, because we're really meant to live our lives here.
Absolutely.
You know,
there's people that do become addicted to it.
Yeah, and that's not something I choose to take part of. But the last session I had with this man, his wife came through and asked him to spend more time with the family, that his grandchildren needed him and his children needed him. I got a call from the daughter the next day saying, "We've been saying that to Dad. We need him, and he hasn't been paying attention to us."
Oh.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. Sometimes spirit will choose to separate themselves out a little bit or give that message. Spend time with those you love here on this side, not just those who are on the other side. It's always about balance.
I agree. Oh, I agree. Does everybody go to the same place, the same way when they die? Is it the same?
I really think that our experiences can be tremendously different.
Okay.
The Buddhist way of thinking is very interesting, which is as you have the thoughts while you're passing, that will help dictate not only where you go, but your experience of passing. So even in the middle of a war, or if you're being attacked or whatever, to keep a loving, peaceful spirit about you, no matter what is happening at the time of your passing.
I agree.
Will
help.
Holly,
has spirit ever communicated with you what it's like in the afterlife?
Oh, yeah. I get bits and pieces all the time. Now, none of us has a handle on heaven. I hate to say. It's just too big a place. And you know, anybody
right.
says, this is exactly what heaven is like, I'm like, oh, wait a minute.
Oh, that's the perfect answer. It's so huge. Nobody has the same experience in there. That gets you out of going through details on it. That's a great way to explain it. It's so big. Never thought about that.
And it's really, really wonderful, too. Now, people who come to speak with me from the other side will talk about heaven, and they'll talk about it from their own perspective and what they're doing there. Now, the interesting thing is that very often spirit will talk about food. Now, I find this hilarious, considering they don't
food?
Have stomachs
yeah.
over there. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they would do that with me a lot, too, food.
Yeah. It's not as though there, you know, are ovens and bakeries and all of that. It's like, why are they talking about food? So I had to ask spirit, what is this about food? Well, number one, it's often the place where families gather around family meals. And when spirit talks about memories of this side, they'll often talk about their favorite foods.
Mm-hmm.
They'll talk about wanting to have a certain kind of dinner or a family meal
or
their favorite dish.
They bring their smells in with them when they do that, too.
Yeah, and they'll comment on, you know, I've had spirit say, oh, you're going to the family reunion and you're going to make my potato salad. You know, and the daughter will say, yes, I just found Mom's recipe and I'm making the potato salad. And then she'll go on you know, talk about, well, the secret ingredient is the pickles and blah, 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 and, you know, and all of that. They're very interested in those things because it's about family. It's also about nurturing. And the other thing is it's about abundance. Very often, food is used as a symbol or a metaphor for abundance. So for those who struggled here on this earth plane and never seemed to have enough or lost the family farm, very often they will come in with the abundance of a laden table.
With a what?
A laden table. A table filled with food. Yeah.
I'm just wondering why you picked potato salad with pickles.
You know, I have to tell you, when I'm doing this work, and I find this in large groups, like if I'm doing a group of over 100 people, and this will happen also on radio shows and things, Spirit will have me choose certain examples, will have me, even when I'm talking with someone and giving a message, it will seem to apply to other people in the audience. I almost think that that's Spirit's way of sort of poking through and saying hello to a lot of people at the same time.
Well, I just made my mom's potato salad, and
see?
One of her best ingredients in it is pickles.
See that?
And that is, it's very much, when I make that, I know she's around on it, because if
and
I don't boil
is,
the potatoes just right.
But this is the perfect example of what I'm saying. And I'll never forget, I had a large group of people, and I mentioned that there was a man in spirit, a father in spirit, and he was walking around a group of people. He gave me the initial of his first name, and he loved Christmas trees, and he loved trains around Christmas trees. You know, there were five people in that area of the room, all who had fathers that loved Christmas trees with trains going around the bottom.
Oh, wow. And I thought,
first of all, how did that happen? And they didn't know each other. How did they end up sitting together? It's almost like Spirit groups people,
know,
and uses a medium to connect in the most effective way possible. Well, then we actually found who this man belonged to, but that was the reason why I couldn't place him at first, because he was literally wandering around this whole group. It was a very interesting situation.
That is very cool, because it was, you know, to mention, even with pickles, the sweet pickles and potato salad, it's just, I mean, there's not many people eat the celery, or they'll do this, but they don't put a lot of sweet pickles in that. When you said that, I thought, I just made that.
All right. Well, take that as a hello from your mom, would you?
You know, I will, absolutely.
And that's what they do, because what will happen, and everyday people will do this. I had a friend of mine who was working in an office. His grandmother always called him Pumpkin. So he's working in an office, he's in the file cabinet, and some lady walks by and says, "Hey, Pumpkin." And he turns to her and he says, "Why did you just say it?" She goes, "I don't know. Why on earth would I call you Pumpkin?" And I think
Isn't
it was a
wonderful
hello from his grandmother. And this was not, you know, his coworker wasn't someone who thought of herself as a medium or anything like that. Boom, it just popped out of her mouth. See, I don't think we are as individual as our thinking as we'd like to think. You know, we all think, oh, I'm so independent, my thoughts are my own, you know, all of this. I think we are impressed by Spirit all the time. It's just part of our level of connection with each other and the other side.
Well, Holly, since Spirits are impressed with us and we're impressed with them, we do have a virtual auditorium in addition to listeners all around the world, and we would like to see if you are up to doing one quick reading for someone.
Sure.
Okay, so we are going to go ahead and try this.
Okay.
And let's bring in the first individual for a reading.
Yeah, we have time for one, actually, so go ahead, Brenda.
Hello, thank you for choosing me, and I'm looking forward to this.
Her first name is Brenda, but Brenda, please come up and let Holly hear your voice again,
yeah.
Please.
Hello, Holly. I'm Brenda. I'm from North Carolina. And I've really enjoyed the show tonight and the very informative topics that you've brought to it.
But this is Hollister Rand. And I have the sense of a lady on the other side. This feels like a mother influence.
Okay. We're going to ask her if she understood because they've teed up the mic again on it, Chris, so that we can broadcast the show on it. So, Brenda, on it, just keep going on this, Holly. You need to keep up with us, and do you understand the mother figure that Hollister's bringing through for you? Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. She gives me the idea she did not have an easy life. I would not be surprised if she had a cancerous condition taking her over because I'm getting this very, very tired feeling with her. She also moves in with another lady here who feels like a grandmother in spirit. I'm also hearing the name of a Mary or a Marianne as well with these ladies. Your grandmother is a very, very strong figure, very, very powerful lady. She also gives me the idea of religion here, of having a sense of God. So, Brenda, does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes, she's saying very much so.
Right. Well, this religious lady, this grandmother, is making me laugh because, well, she's giving me the idea she had some weight on her. I would not be surprised if there was a stroke or some trouble walking because she's letting me know I can run now. I can run now. She also loved gardening. She loved to have her own vegetables and grow her own vegetables.
Yes.
So, Brenda, do you remember this about her?
Yes.
Okay. She comes in here with her faith in God intact, she says. She says, I have not been disappointed. She's also talking about someone trying to quit smoking. So, Brenda, I don't know if that's you.
Okay. Brenda, is that you quit smoking? Yep, it says it's her.
Okay. Because she says she's going to help the person who's trying to quit smoking. She's also writing an A name in the sky, an A-L name in the sky. This feels like a man that she's trying to bring through or to talk about, almost like an Alan or an Albert.
Do you understand that? Alan or Albert? A-L? Brenda? A-U-D.
Okay. She's also talking about a male on father's side with
L.
a drinking problem.
Okay.
She's also talking about a male on father's side with a drinking problem.
Yes.
And
yes.
I have a man moving in here who I think people liked very, very much. He's giving me the idea of a father figure. This could be a father or a grandfather. I'm not exactly sure just at the moment. But this is a man who is very proud of his life. I also would not be surprised if there's Irish in this family because I'm hearing fiddle. So does that make sense to you, Brenda?
Yes,
makes sense.
Okay, because I'm hearing all of these Irish fiddles here in the background. So very often, what will happen
very
now,
cool.
Do you mind if I, well, okay, let me continue. It's funny, Spirit wants me to continue, and then I'd like to explain a couple of things about this if I could.
Okay. Yes,
the
absolutely.
Reason that they are all here today, Brenda, is to let you know you're not alone. Your grandmother and your mother are giving me the idea that you feel very much as though you are left standing alone, as though everyone in your life has fallen away. Do you understand that?
Yes.
And so they are here to let you know, no, you are not alone. You've been feeling separate for some time now. You've been talking to them, asking them to come and be with you. By the way, I wouldn't be surprised if your father liked nuts, because he's saying to me, put out the walnuts and the cracker and I'll come. All right, so he's going to show up. He talks about things around your house that you have to fix. He's talking about a leak under the kitchen sink, so you know about that. That has to be fixed. And trouble with the car.
She's reading me.
Okay. Oh. Now, there is so much love coming to you from the other side. I'm not sure you were able to be with your father when he passed. He's giving me a level of separation there, so you may not have been able to be there. They're also letting me know that there's a dog on the other side who has passed, and this may be recent. All of these people and all of these entities, these spirits, are here to let you know that you are not alone, that you can make the changes that you're desiring to make in your life, and you can move forward. Right now, they're saying you feel a little stuck.
She's saying good, absolutely. Carpal
all right,
good
you can move forward, and that's the thing. They're here. They're pushing you from behind. She also, your grandmother also says you have a love of angels, Brenda. So I wouldn't be surprised if you have an angel figurine from her, your grandmother, or if you collect angels, or if there are angels around you, because she's talking about that.
She collects them?
She collects them. Okay. Because that's what the grandmother is letting me know. All right, now, Brenda, please do take their love and let them know that you feel them around. By the way, I'm smelling something like chantilly or chantilly lace or something like that. So there's either a perfume or a fragrance, chantilly, or your mother loved the song Chantilly Lace.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Now, for the sake of everyone who's listening, what I'd like to do, because I'm a teacher, if we have a few minutes, do we?
Well, yes. we're out of time, but we're going to run over. I just heard from my station manager we can run over 10 minutes. We have one other lady that's up there that would like just to get a little bit of information on it. And so we could do that also, too. And we've got probably about 13 minutes we can do that with on it.
Okay. Well, what I was wondering if we could do is I would like to explain to people how I was receiving this information.
Okay.
All right, is that all right with you?
That's fine.
I know
yes,
we would love to do readings, and I'd actually like to connect with everybody's relative.
Right. Well, that's true on it, but we have one more on there, and we're going to cut you off on that one because we can go on that one. I'm standing in line with my hands up. Are you
okay?
Kidding?
Well, let me just explain to you how Brenda's people were coming to me.
Okay.
Now, when I work with someone from the other side, like when I have a client and their people are coming, they will stand on different sides of me, so that I know what part of the family they're from. So I have a mother's side and a father's side. Now, it's not like they're all divided up in heaven that way. It's the way I choose to work with spirit. It's almost like sort of a shortcut. So if I have a female presence moving in on mother's side and she stands very close to me, then I know it's mother. Then if I feel another female presence coming in, standing to the side of mother, then I know I've got a grandmother presence. So the way they place themselves helps me know who they are. And then the man moving in on father's side as well moved in close to me. So I knew it was father. Then he stepped away. I knew there was some distance. So the way they line themselves up is important. Then I was starting to get this cancerous feeling, you know, this feeling of exhaustion, like I just can't go anymore. So I was getting some physical manifestations of illness. Then I started seeing pictures of things. So pictures of, you know, angels and things like that.
Wow,
Started hearing an owl sounding name or a Mary, M-A-R name, and they started to write those letters in the sky like skywriting. And then I smelled what smelled like chantilly, you know, like this perfume. So in other words, spirit is using every single one of the senses to communicate. And I just wanted to sort of lay that out for people, because it's not always clear where stuff is coming from. And so I just thought I would explain that.
Oh, yeah.
In case that's helpful to your listeners.
It was very helpful. But, you know, this is the thing about it, though, also, too, that happens, is that not only can you give the message for one person, but there could be the next person right next to them that is taking the same exact information on everything. And I am holding a bottle of Chantilly perfume that my mother left when she died. My dad just brought it to me.
Okay. So do you see, this is what I'm talking about. They will, so you guys are getting hellos from your mothers.
Oh, absolutely.
Isn't that wonderful?
It is wonderful.
And not only that, with the plumbing that we're having problems with in the kitchen, with the brakes on the car.
Okay, there you go. And very often what will happen is they'll scoot on at the end of someone's message.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? They'll just
thank you, Bruce, for allowing me to share your message with you.
Yeah, and that's what will sometimes happen. Because you've got to understand, with you on the phone, with both of you on the phone and me, this is an open channel. And we're in agreement here, so of course your people are going to be in the room.
Well, I'm going to stamp that amazing. That
is amazing.
It's amazing. It is. And I'm, you know, this is the thing. We always want to say, like, give credit to Spirit or God. You know, Hollister, I am going to give you credit too, because you have reached that point and in experience that you understand the messages. That's important.
Well, I have reached the place in my life where I trust spirit more than I trust what someone else is telling me here on the earth plane, and more than I trust what I am thinking. I trust spirit. I've had enough experience. You know, when I first started doing this work, I had a very, very dear friend who supported my moving into this full time. And he bought me a bracelet, and it had one word on it, and that word was trust.
Wow.
And I wore that bracelet for years. I still have it in my jewelry cabinet. And the reason was, you know, he started setting up these events for me, and I did my first large event, and it went very well. And then a bigger event was set up, and I had a panic attack. And I said, what happens if nobody talks to me? What happens if no spirits show up from the other side? What am I going to do?
Absolutely.
And he gave me this bracelet.
Did you have to hear someone's voice to connect with them? Is it easier for you?
What's that?
We have another woman. She doesn't have a mic, but it's just, I'm just wondering whether or not you'd be able to connect with her.
Well, we can certainly try.
Okay. Okay. Her name's Kathy.
Hello, Kathy. Kathy, it's interesting. They're talking about a young person in spirit around you. When I say that they're talking about it, I've got guides who work with me, and they talk about a young person in spirit around you. This
yes.
may not be a young man who belongs to you, but
yes.
this person may belong to someone you know. Are
to
you,
her.
Is she saying yes?
Yes, to her.
Okay. So, because he gives me the idea, he has to get through. He has to get through. He has to get through. He has to let the people in his life know that he is all right. He gives me the sense. Now, this is someone who has a tremendous love for life. He gives me the idea that he got to the other side very, very quickly. I feel an impact. So he was here and he was there. She understands that?
Yes.
Okay. He's also writing a BR in the sky. So there may be a Brandon, Brian, it's a bruh-sounding name around him.
Okay.
Because he's giving that as well. He's also talking about a Mike or a Michael and a Jeff. So these may be friends or people who are around him at the time of his passing.
Okay.
He says there was nothing to do that could have kept him here. So people should not worry about if we had gotten there sooner, you know, this kind of thing. He was gone. She understands that, correct?
Joshua Brady, on a name. And okay, yes.
Brady it is?
Yes.
Okay. Because that's what I'm saying. Now, this is really interesting because that's clairaudience when they're going, they're giving this brr sound. You know, so I knew it was Brian, Brad, you know, it was like that,
mm-hmm.
but it's Brady.
Absolutely.
Okay, which is like kind of Brad with a Y or something like that. So that's when they're sounding it out. And you can tell that a medium is being clairaudient when they're saying, like, it sounds like, you know, and it sounds like this or it has that sound. Now, where I use that a lot, when I was in Thailand giving messages, these were messages that were not in English. You know, I had to give messages in English that were then translated. But what spirit would do would be to phonetically, like, speak out the name or
wow.
write it in a way that I could sort of get it. So it's really interesting. There's no problem with different languages. I get asked that question all the time.
Oh, cool.
In fact, when I was on Spanish television, I had to laugh because I was talking to a man. His son had passed. I was talking to a man who did not speak any English. His son was giving me messages in English, which then had to go through an interpreter, which then he had to get. He had to speak in Spanish to the interpreter. She would give me the answer, and I would communicate back with the son.
That's magnificent.
So it all just makes me laugh.
Well, we really have enjoyed you being on the show here, Holly, and you are magnificent. And to our listeners, I want you to know that Hollister Rand will be in New York at the Marriott Resident Inn in Plainview, Long Island on October the 4th. And she will also be giving an intensive one-day mediumship development workshop called Touching Two Worlds in Plainview, New York on Sunday, October 5th. And also she'll be in Westbury, Long Island on October 6th. You can find out the information on the portaltalkradio.com, where Hollister Rand's events are listed, as well as visiting www.hollisterrand.com.
And you did that all, didn't you, Angela?
Well, I just want to go on and on with you, Hollister. I wish that we would have had two full hours. And please do come back again.
I would love to.
Thank you so much.
And may spirit continue to use you too mightily. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Thank you so much. Everybody, that's our show for this week. Everybody, take care of each other and yourself. Be good to yourself. And we'll see you next week. This is Tuesday Miles with Portal Paranormal Talk Radio.
And I'm Angela Thomas.
Bye-bye.
God bless you all.
See you next week. Bye-bye.